7 years old. The rope you, John 3:16. Something changed in me. Red letters coming off the page, flooding my heart with amazing grace. I knew then, I believed, those roots run deep. Oh, I've been through some faith shaking hard times, yeah. But nothing's gonna make me forget. Every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I could hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know His word is true. It all started with heart stirring, spirit moving Sunday service. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't keep the church out of me. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Gonna have my worries, but that's part of life. But then I think of those stories about what my God can do. Still moving like He did back then. Born again, people, can I get an amen? He's all seen the proof. He makes all things new. Even all those faith-shaking hard times, yeah. I never want to stop remembering. Every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I could hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know His word is true. It all started with heart stirring, spirit moving Sunday service. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Oh, Sunday sermon. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, ain't no doubt. So I'm gonna keep on talking about. Oh, yeah, every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I could hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know I'll make it through. All because of those heart-stirring, spirit-moving Sunday sermons. Devil gon' try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gon' try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gon' try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gon' try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me.
Oh, you guys are my savior. I want to thank you, every one of you that donated, that helped us out immensely. There ain't no word in this world that can say thank you to you guys. I bless you all. Thank you.
We're just glad that the voices are part of fellowship here, Caribou Assembly of God. Amen. They're a blessing to us when we see the hand of God working in their lives, and the hunger that Tina has demonstrated, just going after God. It's been a blessing for this pastor to watch that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think I got everything covered so far, didn't I? Got a busy day today, and we're looking forward to it. If later on in the day you think of it, would you remember an Assembly of God church in Waterville that is going through some real, real dark times? And if God doesn't intervene and step into this situation, and if soft hearts don't allow God to work, we're looking at a major, major church split and major destruction, which really causes that church to lose its light in that community. That church there, Center Point, was known for decades as Calvary Temple under the leadership of Wilson Hickam, who was a wonderful man of God, who influenced that community in ways that I'm sure when he went there he never dreamt would happen. And as things have progressed, they didn't get right people in leadership that shared that integrity that Wilson did and had the authority of a man who walks right before God and believes God. And the enemy saw an opportunity to step in. And we just need to pray for God's intervention so that that light is not taken out of the city of Waterville. Amen? So if you think of it, keep that in prayer. Go ahead. Amen. Go ahead, you.
Lord, you know the situation.
Just want to share a testimony as I get into a continuation of the secret place spiritual warfare principle number 2, submission. A couple months ago when I felt to move into this series, I really didn't realize at that time what an impact it was going to have on my life. I want you to know that this secret place series has turned my world upside down for the good. I shared, I think, after the first week that I felt like I've been born again all over again. And God has really been working in my life. And I'm trusting that that work is just going to continue and continue on so that I can experience more of the Lord and be available for Him to use me in more ways than I ever dreamed possible. But I'm discovering that all started in the secret place, making a commitment to get alone with God. And for months I had been waking around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I read somewhere that when you wake up in the middle of the night, it might kind of cheat your body by going in washing with cold water, because it might help you go right back to sleep. So that was my habit. I'd get up, I'd wash my hands and face with cold water, go back to bed, and hope I went to sleep. But I learned through this time that God wants to spend time with me. And if those early morning hours are His way of extending the invitation, I wouldn't want to leave the God of all heaven and earth waiting. Wouldn't want to stand Him up. Man, I'd want to show up when He showed up and spend some time with Him. And that time is changing my life. Now, I want to give a little bit of an introduction, because when we talk on this subject of submission, it's not a popular subject in our culture today. And it's really, really misunderstood and misrepresented. James chapter 1, verse 17 gives us some very important insight into the nature of the God who we desire to submit to. Here's what it says, James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. This verse tells us that God is the source of every good and perfect gift. So who's the source of every good and perfect gift? God. Amen. God, keep that in mind. He is the source of every good and perfect gift. And then in Matthew chapter 7, there's another truth that reinforces this. Chapter 7, verse 11, it's Jesus speaking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's addressing the people that were hearing him. If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? So when we put those two truths together, we come out with an understanding that God is the source of all good and perfect gifts, and that he loves to give good gifts to his children. Can you say amen to that? He loves doing it. It gives him joy in his heart to be generous and bless his children. Hallelujah. Now, I've got to shift gears just a little bit and take you to John chapter 10, verse 10, because this helps us understand an important concept concerning submission. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? The thief. I have come, Jesus is speaking, that they may have life and have it to the full. So this scripture establishes that there are two opposing forces in this world. One is called the thief, and one is called Jesus. The thief is later identified in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, when the scripture tells us, be alert and of sober mind. In other words, don't walk through life with a daze, thinking that nothing could ever happen to me. Be alert and of sober thinking. Don't be out there in la-la land somewhere. Take a serious look around you once in a while. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, who's your enemy? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we get an understanding here of two forces that are at work. One force for good, one force for evil. God on one hand and our personal adversary, the devil. Okay, that was for effect, all right? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it, all right? So, with that in mind, let's move forward into this continued teaching on submission. I said all that to help you understand why submitting to God is so important. The authority structures that God has placed in marriage, in the home, in the church, and in the world are designed to protect us from the evil designs of the devil. Hello? Did you hear that? They're there for your protection. They're there because a loving God who loves to give good gifts knows that he needed to put these things in place for your benefit. Remember, he created you. There's no one who knows you any better than God. He knows your capacities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you need and loves you enough to put those things or at least offer them to you so you can take advantage of them in your life. And one of those things is a structure called authority. He's designed it for your protection. I stated last Sunday as we got started that when we look at this concept of submission, it's either submission or rebellion. And I want to take you back to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 2, to a simple little verse that really labels it out and puts this into perspective. Isaiah 1, verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That's quite a picture. They're his children, but they've rebelled against him. That word that is used here to describe rebellion is pasha. And it literally means to break away from. Have you ever seen that? Parents walking in a mall with a little one holding the hand, and all of a sudden the little one decided they wanted to take off and they broke away from their parents. The parents were holding their hands to keep them out of trouble and keep them from danger. But that little heart didn't understand that, so the little one breaks off and a parent quickly scurries after them or hopes that someone will catch them down the road and slow up their progress so they can get them. Can you picture God's people breaking away from him? It has to be because they didn't understand the truths that I just shared with you earlier to lay a foundation, that he's a good God. He cares about you. He's looking out for your best interest. He's not trying to keep you from having a good time. He's trying to protect you so that you can enjoy this life to the fullest. The Bible makes it clear as we study it that the basis of submission is humility, and the basis of rebellion is pride. So friends, it all boils down to this when we look at this and bring it down to the real structure and bottom line. Submitting to God leads to your security, and rebelling against him leads to your jeopardy. Rebellion is breaking away from God and the authority structure he's given into your life to protect you. It is literally breaking rank and getting out there on your own. And hear me very carefully, it is always done to your peril. There's never a time when you will rebel against God when it will bring good things to you or rebel against the authority structures in your life. It will always be done at your peril. How do I know that? Well, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. I'm sure you may have heard this. If you've spent any time in Sunday school or been around church, you probably heard this scripture quoted, maybe preached on. But I want to show you something from 1 Samuel that's really important. 1 Samuel 15, 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, this scripture is not saying that rebellion is witchcraft. Did you hear that? Very clear. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's drawing a comparison here. Rebellion produces some of the same results that witchcraft produces. All right, to be real quiet, follow me, because I want you to get this truth. Someone who is involved in witchcraft exposes themselves directly to the influence of the devil. They are stepping into the realm of demonic, satanic activity. And friends, when you step into that realm, it doesn't simply work to say, oh, excuse me, I shouldn't have made that step and walk out of there. You've been exposed to demonic power. And it's the devil's plan and influence to destroy you. When you live under God's authority, you live under God's protection. And he's the one that wants to lead you to the best in this life and to life evermore for all of eternity. So when you submit to God, it's always to your benefit. It's always for your own good. When you rebel, you are stepping under the devil's influence. And I want to do something to illustrate that this morning, because it's my desire and hope that this little illustration will be burned into your heart and mind so that when there's a time that you're tempted to rebel against God, to rebel against your mom and dad, to rebel against your spouse in a marriage relationship, or to rebel against the church. I'm hoping that this illustration will be burned deeply into your heart and mind. All right? So, could I have a couple of volunteers to help me? I just need two. Jeff, okay, come up here. Mike, you want to volunteer too? Okay, come right up here. All right. When I was growing up, I had a good friend that used to call these bumper shoots. Is that what they call them in England? It's an English term, bumper shoots. Okay? You know what this is, right? It's my wife's umbrella.
I used it on at the stand.
All right. This umbrella represents God's authority. When I have this umbrella above me, it provides protection for me against the elements. When I am under God's authority provides an umbrella of protection for me. Jeff, would you take this one? Okay. So we know that that umbrella is designed to keep us dry when it's raining. Okay, this is the best I could do without getting a hose in here. Jeff, are you getting wet?
No.
You know why, don't you? Because you're under the umbrella. The water's dripping off from around you. It's not affecting you. Friends, that's what happens when we live under God's authority. We live under His protection. Now, let me show you the other part of this illustration.
Oh, come on. I never raised my hand. He's on
TV. There you go.
Just the hair. Don't mess with the hair. You can do it from there. Yeah, yeah.
Something about you, Mike, that just brings this on. He's always looking for something to kind of stir things up. So that's why his name always comes to mind for illustrations like this. So here we are. Now, this umbrella doesn't look like it's going to protect much, does it? Not even an umbrella. It's what's left of an umbrella. This umbrella represents rebellion, the rebellious lifestyle. So when you are under this umbrella, the umbrella of rebellion, no protection. Aren't you glad I didn't have a great big super soaker? Amen. Amen. So you see what's happening? One up here got wet and one stayed dry. Thank you, brothers, for this illustration. Let me get you a towel. Jeff doesn't need it, but you do. No, I brought one just to be compassionate. Just don't wipe your hair. We don't want it to stick to the towel. Amen. Now, thinking of that illustration, whose fault was it that Mike got wet? Mike was under the wrong umbrella. And do you see what happens so often in our lives? We step out from under God's authority, and the next thing you know, we're boo-hoo-hooing. My faith is being attacked. I'm under attack. Dummy, dummy, dummy. Get under the umbrella that protects you. It was your will that led you into problems, and it will be the exercise of your will that leads you back to the place of protection. You see, there are benefits that come with submitting to authority. When you submit to authority, you are always under the protection of that authority. So young people, when mom and dad tell you no, you can't do something, you don't see this or understand this now, but they are doing it for your good. When you want to have your own car so that you can go out, mom and dad said you're not ready for it yet, you may chafe inside and really get upset, but they're doing it for your protection. They're observing things about you that are telling them that you're just not ready for it. You're just not ready for it. And remember that anytime you step out from under their authority, you do it at your own peril. The same thing is true in the church. God has given us a local body so that as we submit to the ministry of the church, the leadership of the church, we have protection. Amen? And I warn you that anytime you are beginning to drift away the church and isolate yourself from it, you're stepping into enemy territory. Because he's out there prowling around looking for someone to jump on. And when he sees someone separated from the flock, that's a prime person he's going to go after and attack. There's safety under God's umbrella of protection. There is safety when we come to church and experience the presence of God and fellowship with our brothers and sisters and pray for one another in need. There's safety here when we hear the word of God preached and we submit to the teaching of God's word. When we follow the laws and regulations of our government, whether we like them or not, we walk under the protection of that government. I can go faster here. It's not going to hurt anything. Okay, break out. It may be at your own peril. I think of that quite regularly because when we come out of our little crossroad onto the main road, people are coming up from down by the store, which is a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit. They're supposed to be slowed down. But when they come around that corner, they are flying around that corner. So when I come out there, I have to step on it with my Ford Explorer and get myself right up to 60 or 65 before I start backing down. And when I back down, you know what happens? They're right on my tail. They're right on my tail. What they don't understand is there's a speed limit there for their benefit, to keep them safe. One morning I was coming in, and I was glad that I was not doing 60 miles an hour because all of a sudden in front of me, I saw a pickup truck pull over to the side, and I went by him to see a cow moose laying on the side of the road dead. That cow moose ran into his pickup truck. If I had been speeding up, it could have been running into my Explorer. Amen. God loves us so much that he won't just leave us to our own desires and wishes. He established structure in this world. And the world we're living in today has seen the spirit of lawlessness almost totally released upon our society. People don't care what laws say anymore. And in reality, they're following the lead they've seen in government. Because people in government who are supposed to be setting an example of obeying the laws have been breaking laws thinking that they're not under the law. Can I tell you something? There will become a day when the law will have no favorites. It will not be tipped to anyone's advantage. The playing field will all be leveled. And I want you to understand there won't be a double standard of judgment there for the rich and famous and powerful and then the rest of us. It won't be that way. because God himself will be the judge. And justice will be done. But the bottom line is it's for our protection. Ignore it if you want to, but when you ignore it, there's going to be consequences. And part of that consequence is that you've just stepped into enemy territory. So you've got to see something out of this that I think is really important. So many people, when they do what they want to do and ignore the structure God's given us to live under, when something goes wrong, they blame God. God didn't take that umbrella away from you. God didn't push you out from underneath that umbrella. He left it there for you. You walked out from under it. So if there's anybody that deserves blame, you're it. Hello? You're it. So many people come to the conclusion, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore. This Christianity doesn't work. It does work if you work it. It does work if you live under that umbrella of protection. But if you're just going to keep doing your own thing, it doesn't work for you. It will work against you because the enemy will have his way with you and you'll be receiving dope slap after dope slap from him. And in the background, he's laughing at you with that demonic laugh. Can I give you another picture? It's the picture of the Heavenly Father. And you know what he's doing? I get this from the story of the prodigal. He's standing outside of his home, looking down the long trail that leads to the return to his house. And he's hoping, with a heart of anticipation, that one day the prodigal's going to come back to Father's house. And then one day, I don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. So this father was watching in anticipation so that I'm sure there were times when he was almost ready to give up hope. But one day, he looks out there and he recognizes the figure that's coming in the distance. Even though it was a disheveled figure and it wasn't the same size that it was when it left him. Here comes this skinny person who was his son who ran away from him and said, I want my money. I want it now. I'm tired of living in your house. What did the father do? He ran to him and embraced him. It tells you something about the heart of God. You can ignore him. You can run from him if you want to, but you always do it at your own peril. Now, this is about spiritual warfare. So what I'm leading you to understand is that you can't fight against the devil and fight against God at the same time. You must be in the place of surrender to God. Then the scripture says, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you can't live outside of God's authority and expect to have authority over the devil. In the book of Acts, it talks about seven sons of Sceva who had seen Jesus' ministry and the ministry of the apostles as they were casting out devils. And they thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And they started casting out the devil out of this one man. And you know what the scripture says happened? The devil in him jumped on them and left them beat up and partially naked. Because here's what the devil said. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, they're under God's authority. They can exercise authority, but you're not. You have no authority over me, and I'll demonstrate it by laying a good whooping on you. You'll never forget. Now, that wasn't God's fault that that happened. That was their fault. Get under God's authority, and you walk and live under his umbrella of protection. This is one of the most powerful concepts that I can ever share with you as a pastor. In the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 5, 19 through 21, it lists some of the works of the flesh. And it lists sorcery here, which is literally translated as witchcraft. And it's listed as a work of the flesh, helping us to understand that sometimes the works of the flesh can expose us to demonic activity. This Greek word that is used here, translated sorcery, or in some translations as witchcraft, is the Greek word pharmakeia. Does that sound a little bit familiar to you? It's the word we get pharmacy or pharmaceuticals out of. Listen to what the Complete Biblical Library has to say about this word. This term can refer to the use of magic arts of any kind. It can also refer to witchcraft, which involved the use of drugs to harm and influence and control others. This is clearly telling us that the use of drugs to harm others is a form of witchcraft that exposes those using them to demonic power. Why don't you let that settle in for a minute? Can you remember back a couple of years ago when this thing, COVID-19, broke on us? And the government was telling us, you need to get a vaccine. Some people had something inside telling them something is not right. Something is wrong. Just recently, I listened to the Surgeon General for the state of Florida, who has called for all of the doctors in his jurisdiction to stop giving the COVID vaccines, with a warning, that those vaccines were made in such a way that it can affect the person who's receiving the vaccine, affect their DNA in a way that will be harmful to them. He said, I remember that time. And he said, I remember that I was one of those that just wasn't going to fall in line with that. And here's the explanation this man gave. An educated man, a doctor, attended some of the finest medical schools in our country and in the world. He said, I'll tell you what I think was happening. People were intuitively receiving information that this was not good for them. Well, intuition is part of our spiritual makeup, that unseen part of our nature. Okay, our body is one part of our make, and we have the five senses to help us deal with the world we're living in and understand our body. Then we have the soul that gives us self-consciousness, and that's made up of mind, emotions, and will. And the spirit is made up of the ability to commune with God and intuition. God created us with this mechanism inside of us that could understand things without going through our brain. You following me? We say, I receive that intuitively. Now, I love to be out in the woods, and I can explain this to you through things that have happened to me in the woods. I'd be walking out in the woods or going fishing in Madawaska Stream. And all of a sudden, I would get this feeling that I was being watched. It wasn't coming from my brain. It wasn't coming from my natural senses. I didn't see anything, hear anything, smell anything that made me feel that way. But I just had this feeling that I was being watched. I'm looking around me, checking behind me, see what's going on. Walk up a little bit further, and I hear something splashing in the water behind me. And I look, and here's a black bear that's just crossing the stream where I just came from. You may think I'm crazy, but it was intuitive. God was giving me a warning that bypassed my brain to pay attention. something dangerous could happen. God has equipped us with that. So, those of you that just felt inside that that's not something you could do, there's a reason for it. And now it's finally coming out. Amen? Drugs are not anything to mess around with. And I am telling you today and suggesting very clearly, based on an understanding of Scripture, that the enemy can use drugs against us. Now, Pastor, are you telling us to stop taking medicine? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I am telling you this, that if there's something going on in your heart and something is saying this is wrong, I should not be doing it, you need to receive that information and pay attention to it. All right? Is it any wonder that in our community, drug addiction is so difficult to break? It's not just a natural thing. It is a demonic thing. And let me reinforce that, showing you the pattern that usually happens. Parents that care about you give you a warning that you shouldn't hang around with certain people in certain places that do certain things. But you think, oh, they're just having fun, so I want to have fun. And you go there out from your parents' authority, and in doing so, you expose yourself to the fiery darts of the devil. And when you get there, you discover they're doing drugs. And inside, you're nervous and anxious about it. But then you look and, oh, it's some of the big shots from the high school that are doing this. Might even be some of the good-looking people. Might even be some of the star athletes. Well, this can't be all wrong. Maybe I can just try this. You've walked out into enemy territory, away from your parents' authority, and now you are exposing yourself to the fiery darts of the devil. Can you see anything good that's going to come out of that circumstance? Oh, it's just one time, yeah. Yeah. Heard that before. So you do it. And you enjoyed it so much, you did it again and again and again. And all of a sudden, before you realize it, your whole life is surrounded or centered on your drug habit. And that habit becomes so forceful in your life, you don't even care about eating. Hello? Your concern is getting your next fix. Demonic power. You've stepped under demonic power. I'm sharing that with you to paint a picture of understanding on what it's going to take for us as Caribou Assembly of God to significantly impact the drug problem in Caribou. We have got to become an army of God, surrender to His authority, so full of the Holy Ghost that when we go into the areas where the drugs are, that the devils just cry out and cringe and want to get away from us, because they understand that their time working in those lives, destroying them, is limited. But before we can do that, we must surrender to God. In every way that we can understand surrender in our relationship to Him means. Because I have learned this, that before I can exercise authority in the kingdom of God, I have got to put myself under the authority of the kingdom of God. And that my route to a place and ministry that holds and wields more authority in the kingdom is the road of surrender to God, submitting everything about me to Him. And can I also share with you, based on Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13, where Jesus spoke to a man that he just had a conversation with and said, I've never seen as great a faith as in all of Israel. And it was about a Roman centurion who had a need in his home. And he spoke to Jesus and said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority, and I know when I speak to my people who are under my authority, they do what I tell them to do. Because I'm under authority, I exercise that authority. Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen faith like that in all of Israel. What was he saying? Faith operates under the umbrella of authority that God has in our lives. So do we want to release that miracle-working power? Get on your knees before God. Fall on your face before him. Surrender every aspect of your life in front of him. And watch God raise you up and give you authority to walk with in your ministry in the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand I've got Bible to back all this up so that you don't think I'm just up here blowing smoke, inspired under the moment. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to tell you what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 1, 17b through 18, here's what it says. And this is John speaking. He, Jesus, laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Hades is literally hell's prison house, where hell keeps their captives imprisoned. Sound familiar? What are keys used for? To lock and unlock doors. Okay. Jesus has the keys of hell's prison house and death to unlock those doors. Now let's go a little bit further, or backwards actually, from Revelation back to Matthew 16, 18b. Jesus speaking here, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys. Whoa. Now, I think we've got this picture wrong. We've got this picture and understanding that the gates of hell are trying to come against us. I don't think that's what he's saying. The gates of hell are locked and the bars are there to keep the church from coming into hell's prison house. Getting the picture? What Jesus is saying, those gates cannot keep the church out of hell's prison house. I give you the keys to unlock those doors. Hallelujah. And he made it real clear that when we move into territory that is under hell's dominion, we have the authority to unlock those doors and to walk in there and take those captives and set them free. Now, when Jesus was exercising his earthly ministry, casting out devils, the Pharisees looked at him and said, you're casting out devils because you're the prince of devils. Well, one thing I like about Jesus is he never backed down from a good doctrinal fight. He understood their theology was all messed up. And in Mark chapter 3, when they accused him of casting out devils because he was the prince of devils or Beelzebub, he refuted them by telling them that you can't spoil a strong man's house unless you first tie up the strong man. And when he's tied up, then you can go in and spoil his goods or his house. Go with me to chapter 12 of Matthew's gospel, starting with verse 22. And the caboose is in sight, so we're getting there real quick. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Okay, he had physical afflictions. He couldn't see, he couldn't hear. That was a physical thing. But the scripture says he was demon-possessed. Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? See what he's doing? They started it. He's going to finish it. He's not afraid of their doctrinal traps that they're trying to set for him. So then, your people will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom rule of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. You see what Jesus is saying here? I am the strong man. I have already tied up the devil so that you can go and plunder his house. Wow. You know what that looks like to me? Looks like to me that Caribou Assembly of God has some unfinished business. Unfinished business. There are people in bondage that need us to be the liberators in their lives. You know what I'm learning? I believe the Spirit of God is teaching me this. I used to think that before I could cast the devil out of someone, they had to have the desire to get help. But you know what? I don't believe that's true. Because the devil has some people so bound that they can't understand their need for help. And the authority that we have in Jesus Christ, which was first given to the 12, the gospel tells us that Jesus called the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and all sicknesses and diseases. And then in Mark 16, that power was expanded to all believers. These things shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons and heal the sick. Hello? So it's expanded to all of us. We have power and authority. It says nothing in the scripture that the person who's troubled by demons needs to come to us and ask us for help. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say they have to be willing to receive help. All it lets us know is that we have the authority to speak to those demons and they have to leave. The needs that we're facing in our culture today demand that you and I have all of the Holy Spirit actively working in our life that we can ever receive. I need a greater anointing than I've ever experienced in my life. And I want you to know I am pursuing that. I am on the path pursuing that anointing, surrendering myself to God's authority so that I can carry and exercise authority in the kingdom of God. I want to close with this. Is the believer really under God's protective covering when he's under God's authority? I want to close by taking you to Psalm 91. There's not a passage in Scripture that is any more clear in letting us know that when we are under God's authority, we are under God's protection. Listen to it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The umbrella provides shade. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, did you hear that? If you, this is up to you, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And friends, that is the word of the Lord. So it's up to you and I in our response. Will we submit and surrender to him? Or will we continue to walk in rebellious ways? It's up to us. I think this morning it's be very appropriate for us as a symbolic act to stand to our feet. And as many of you as are willing and able to come, come and stand around this altar at the front of the church for a symbolic act that we'll perform together. Amen? Thank you. Don't be bashful. I'm not going to get the water bottle out and start spraying you. I promise that. I got my point across with that. Mike got the message. Amen. Ruth, would you come up here with me, please? If you're able to do this, and there's room being spread out enough to do it, posture doesn't always mean anything, but for this act, it really does. One of the signs of submission when we're dealing with royal authority is bowing on our knees. So let's, if you can do it, you're able, if there's room, would you drop to your knees? Oh. Hallelujah. Somebody will help you get up. Don't worry about that. Hallelujah. 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 Father, as pastor of Caribou Assembly of God, I'm leading my congregation that you've blessed me with in this symbolic act of submission to you. You are God of the universe. We are not. You are the supreme sovereign ruler of all things. We are not. You call the shots. We don't. You are Lord of the church, and we bow in your presence as Lord of our lives today. Jesus. Be Lord. Jesus, be Lord of our lives. We recognize you, and we bow on our knees in a sign of humble submission to your authority in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.